Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper and Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. Again, 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it. Believe it. Live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to talk today about what it means to stand spiritually, and it's really significant in terms of spiritual warfare. Paul talks about standing three or four different times in this passage in Ephesians 6. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, etc. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore. So we've got a lot of emphasis by the Apostle Paul on standing. What in the world does that mean?
Maybe a homely example. In back in the 60s, when Martin Luther King Jr. was leading nonviolent protest against such terrible racism, the most effective thing they did was to stand. They didn't throw rocks. They didn't break windows. They just stood there and said, "We have the right to be here." And the people who were against them were driven crazy just by them standing. And I think that picture applies to what Paul is talking about here. As a child of the living God, I'm not called to say, "Okay, Lord, I've got this one," and go charging out and say, "Satan, I'm coming against you," because Satan will pound me into the pavement. As a child of the living God, I get to put on armor that he has provided for me in every aspect of this armor he has provided, and all I have to do is stand there. And the power of him in that armor, in me, as is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, makes it possible for me to just stand there and say, "No, Satan, I belong to Jesus. You have nothing to say to me."
Absolutely nothing.
And it drives Satan crazy, because he wants us to argue with him. He wants us to fight. Because when we do, he can get inside and do terrible things. But spiritually, if we will just stand there as a child of God and say, "Dad, take it."
And what he's going to do, what Satan is going to do, he has this arsenal of weapons, but really they come down to one, and that one is accusation.
Yes.
He's going to accuse you, throw out every accusation in the book against you. But it's this whole armor of God that protects you, mm-hmm. starting with the helmet of salvation. That helmet of salvation protects the mind, protects the head, protects the temptation to engage mm-hmm. with Satan. We don't have to. We can just rest in the fact that I belong to God. And if God is for me, who can be against me? That's what it means to stand, and it's that story you gave is so powerful, such a vivid picture of what this means, and I think that's exactly what Paul is saying. So we're not called to engage the enemy. We're not called to fight against him. We're simply called to stand in the full armor of God, and that armor is impenetrable as far as God is concerned, and as far as Satan is concerned. Those darts he throws our way, those accusations he throws our way, will not stick in yeah. any way. Yeah.
The Bible doesn't say 9 out of 10 of them will be extinguished. It says all of them, every one of them.
That's exactly right. Extinguishing all the flaming darts of the evil one. Yes, this is good news, isn't it?
That is good news. And you found Basic Gospel on your radio. We're glad you did. This is 1-800-677-9377. That's the number to dial. We have plenty of open lines, and this is your best opportunity today, because we have plenty of time on the clock remaining as well. 1-800-677-9377. Of course, Bob and Richard, the author of Andrew Farley's book, Operation Screwtape, The Art of Spiritual War, fits right into the conversation we're having. You know, we as Christians do have an enemy, and that enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, and his name is Satan.
And he has a lot of tools in his arsenal, but, you know, when we know what they are, we can stand strong in them.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we want to put this resource in your hands. We're making it available for a gift of any amount this month through Basic Gospel. This is simply our way of saying thank you for partnering with us in this great gospel message. People need to hear the good news about Jesus. They need to know the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. I was listening to another radio broadcast on my way into work a couple of days ago, and the person on, it was Chuck Swindoll, and he was saying, just look within your community. I mean, just look within your neighborhood. 90% of those people around you don't know the gospel message. Maybe they've heard little snippets of it here and there, but they've never put it all together or heard it delivered in its fullness, the death of Jesus Christ, the burial of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why there's so much confusion out there. We try to develop our own thinking and about God and come up with our own religious rituals and what that means to us instead of responding to this offer of good news in Jesus. So once we know this good news, then we become equipped to take our stand here in this world as belonging to God, as one of His children. So it's significant to get this message out, and your support to Basic Gospel helps deliver that good news to people all over the world. We have kind of calculated our airtime expense and, you know, the number of people who listen in every single day. A single gift of $35 to Basic Gospel delivers that message to 100 people, month in and month out.
Yeah.
You can make a serious difference, I mean a significant difference, by a simple gift of $35. Everybody has $35 that they can give. And we're encouraging you to invest it in the power of the gospel to change lives. This message, it's simple. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus came back to life. It doesn't get any simpler than that, but it is powerful. It is profound. It is life-changing. Invest in this message. Give a gift today of $35 to Basic Gospel. And to say thanks, we're going to send you a copy of Andrew's book, Operation Screwtape, The Art of Spiritual War.
Yes, for a gift of any amount, simply go on to our website at basicgospel.net or call during Central Time office hours. Today, as a matter of fact, up to about 5 o'clock Central Time, 1-800-727-2828, and speak with our operator. Again, that number again, 800-727-2828, to make your gift and receive your copy of Operation Screwtape by Andrew Farley.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk with Brad, our good friend, listening to us on the Internet today. Hi, Brad.
Hello. And speaking about listening to the Internet, I just encourage all of our listeners in the various markets that we reach that if you're just listening on radio and you want another half an hour of just the most fantastic talk that you can be around as far as Scripture is concerned, go ahead and get on the Internet and stream it, and you'll hear a full hour every day if you've got the time. I can't encourage people to do more of that. And I've been listening, of course, every day, but since last Friday when you started mentioning spiritual warfare, and it got to me thinking about my favorite subject, as you guys know, is the new creation. And so many people, like Richard alluded to, somebody may say, okay, God, I got it, go out and then get wiped up. And, you know, people really, believers really need to understand that this new creation that God is talking about through 2 Corinthians 5:17, it's not an imaginary thing. It's absolutely real. And I've gone back to Genesis and looked at Adam before the fall. He depended upon the Father 100% as a new creation, if I could use that. And, of course, we know Jesus did. Jesus came in through birth, through Mary, and was 100% dependent upon his Father. And he took a stand. That's what Jesus did against the devil. He stood against him and just stood on the Word of God.
He didn't fight them. He simply stood on truth.
Yes, he did. And then you look at our new birth. We're new creations in the very same picture as Adam before the fall, Jesus coming into this world, and now we are new births, and nothing that God does in us and through us, to us, for us, and us back to him, nothing happens outside that new creation. It's not a fleshly thing. It's not a feeling thing. And it's all being led by the Spirit and him walking by the Spirit through us. And when we're in that new creation, we're fully armored. It's not something we put on and take off. It's on us for good. And I just view so many things.
Well, Brad, I think that's part of the truth that we recognize. And I think when Paul says in Ephesians 6 to put on that full armor, that becomes something we do in our minds. We recognize what's true. I recognize that I have this helmet of salvation. And again, that comes from the Spirit of God renewing our minds, teaching us these wonderful truths about who we are really in Jesus Christ, and teaching us to take our stand there. And that is so vitally important to each and every one of us. But Brad, you make some great points. I think when you talk about this new creation, and especially as it relates to spiritual warfare, what comes to my mind is this, that, you know, God has declared us righteous in his sight. You know,
absolutely.
We used to be old sinners, then we were saved by grace, and then God made a declaration, and that declaration is that we are righteous. So any accusation that Satan throws out at us holds no water. It holds no water legally. Why? Because it's already been taken care of by Jesus. He's already made that declaration that I am righteous in his sight. And I need to recognize that. That's who I am as a new creature in Jesus Christ. And that's where we really start experiencing the victory that Christ won for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. Well, Brad, as always,
we have every reason and right to, as believers, to stand on what you've just said.
That's exactly right. And
we don't have to beg for it. We don't have to go ask God to give it to us again.
That's the encouragement of Scripture. That's exactly right.
And I thank you guys for your time, and you guys have a blessed weekend, and I will hear you again on Monday.
Well, we'll look forward to it. Thanks always. We love to hear from you.
Thanks, Brad.
Let's go to Laredo, Texas, and talk to Jerry, listening to us on KCTA. Hi, Jerry.
Hello, Bob. How are you doing?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, nice to hear from you, too. Yeah, my question was, in the book of Genesis, where God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul, can you explain that? Because some people think that Adam, after God formed him, that he was just laying on the ground as a dead man. And then when God breathed into him, he became up and started walking and, you know, and so forth.
Well, Jerry, I take it to simply mean this, that God is the source of life, and his creative power and life brought life to Adam and Eve and to all mankind. Of course, Adam and Eve lost that life through sin, and that life is restored back to us through faith in Jesus. He came that we might have life. So that's how I take it. Richard, on last program, somebody said, Richard, the beautiful one. So we're going to turn to the beautiful one over there and get your thoughts on that.
I'll just sit here and be beautiful. No. I don't think it's such a bad thing to realize that God made humanity, and then as an emphasis for us, as he recounted all of this to Moses, as Moses was writing this, he said, look, I breathed into humanity. I did something different for humanity that I didn't do for the birds of the air and the beasts of the field and all of that. We were intended from the very beginning to have an indwelling spirit, God's spirit, to be in close communion, intimate relationship with God himself. And he did that. That was his initiative that set Adam and Eve apart from the rest of us, or from the rest of the creation. And in the tragedy, of course, well, first, we can't explain how that worked, but the tragedy is that we lost it. And then the beautiful blessing is that because of who Jesus is and what he accomplished, we can have that relationship again, even though this flesh of ours is dead and decaying and is going to be replaced eventually. But we've been restored to that relationship with God in spite of the things that we do, because Jesus was so successful.
Does that help, Jerry?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. So you're saying before he breathed into man, Adam was already up and walking around, and he could see.
Maybe. It doesn't say that.
It doesn't really say that. But I think the point is God breathed his life into man. That's the picture there. And that's significant because, you know, once Jesus is raised back from the dead, he becomes a life-giving spirit.
Yes.
So when we turn to him by faith, that life is breathed back into us that was originally given to Adam and Eve before the fall.
Okay, I understand, yeah, what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a great question. I think it's a significant question, and we certainly appreciate you asking it.
Yeah, I've always wondered about that. That's why I was going to call you and see what your thoughts was on that.
Yeah. Well, I hope that answered, and if you have any other questions, we certainly encourage you to call back. And let me do this. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a copy of Andrew Farley's book, Operation Screwtape, and just to say thanks for being a part of today's broadcast, okay?
Yeah, and thank you, Bob. Thank you.
You're welcome. You hold on, Jerry. Let's go down to or out to El Paso, Texas, and talk to Victor, listening to us on KELP. Hi, Victor.
Hi. This is the very first time me calling you, and I hear your program. It's very interesting. My question is this. I was reading the Bible. I keep either Genesis or Matthew, where it comes to the 14 generations. My question is, if the generation consists of 1,000 years, 100 years, or is from father to son? Because I understand by the Bible that people used to live a long, long time. So that's my only curiosity that I have.
Well, Victor, that's a good question. Probably, you know, after sin entered into the world, you know, life was cut short as far as physical life. Adam and Eve lived well into their 900s. That's a long life. But there came a point in time where, you know, it said that no one would really live beyond 120 years. Mm-hmm. And I think from that time forward, probably a generation would be seen as a 40-year period. How do you take that, Richard? Or
I'd probably just go with from father to son. The problem is in Matthew and in Luke as well, but especially Matthew, when he talks about how many generations there were from one particular person to a target, we know that the time involved there was longer than just the number of people that were involved. It was making a different point, a Jewish point, and you know, I can't get into all of that because I don't know all of those points, but I know he was not just talking about father to son, and how long that is a question for me. So I think it's a great question, and I need to look it up and get a definite answer. Whether it's a time period like Bob says or it's just a father to son kind of thing.
Can I ask you one last question?
Sure.
I was talking to my wife, and my wife's kind of somewhat skeptical, but she believes in the Bible. We were talking about the descendant of Joseph and Mary, and I told my wife that Joseph is a descendant of David versus Mary. I have no knowledge of. How can you answer that for me, please?
Yes, if you go through Matthew, at the beginning of Matthew, the genealogy there shows that Joseph was a descendant of David. If you go through the genealogy in Luke, you see that, Mary is also a descendant of David. So in terms of family, Jesus was covered from both his father and his mother. Spiritually, he was obviously the promised Messiah, and so he didn't need to have a genetic thing. God did what God did in order to make sure that Jesus was born through Mary. But as far as the Bible writers are concerned, both Joseph and Mary are descendants of David.
Okay, you have answered my question. Well, sir, thank you very much, and God bless you all, okay?
You're welcome.
Well, thank you, Victor, and thanks for being a first-time caller. Let me put you on hold, and we'll get you some more information about the ministry. We want to put some resources in your hand just to say thank you. So hang on, okay? Let's go down to New Orleans and talk with Ken, listening to us on WLNO. Hi, Ken.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
All right, that's good. Look, love the program, been listening for a long time. But I'm kind of struggling. I heard you say, I was just listening, and you kind of mentioned that the same spirit that God gave to Adam was basically the same spirit that Jesus had. And that just draws a question to me, because with Adam being formed from the dust of the earth, it's just that he wasn't, he didn't have I'm just mixing my words up right here, but it's just that I don't think that they had the same spirit, because Adam, being that he didn't have the same, I don't know what you want to call it, the Holy Spirit didn't come in, like he came in Mary to form Jesus. He was formed basically from dirt, from the dust of the earth, so he was totally different from...
He was formed from dirt, Ken, but as the caller was saying, and as the Genesis account tells us, God breathed life into Adam. And so
right.
that whole picture is showing us that the life that Adam had was actually God's life. And that life was forfeited through sin. And then Jesus Christ, after he was raised from the dead, as Paul writes, he becomes a life-giving spirit, and all who turn to him by faith go from death to life. That's what salvation is. So we receive right. life in Jesus Christ. And along with that life, our human spirits are quickened from the dead, and then God sends his spirit to live inside of us. That's what makes us new creatures in Christ. So the life that Adam forfeited was the life that God had given him in that breathing into him moment. And we receive new life when we come to him by faith. So that's what we were trying to explain, and maybe we didn't explain that too clearly, but that's the story, Ken. But I appreciate
right.
you calling on today's program. Let me put you on hold, and I think we can give you some resources that will help answer that question in more detail, okay? You hang on.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us today, everybody, for Basic Gospel. I want to remind you that this ministry is totally listener-supported, and we need your ongoing help to keep Basic Gospel on the air. For your gift of any amount, as we said previously, we have a copy of Andrew Farley's book, Operation Screwtape, for you. That's for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Make your gift and request your copy. Call 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator up to 5 o'clock this afternoon Central Time. That's 1-800-727-2828. Or visit us online now or over the weekend at basicgospel.net. Make your gift and request your copy of Operation Screwtape by Andrew Farley. I want to remind you also, for late news about the ministry and upcoming conferences and other events and information about new resources to aid your understanding of life in Jesus Christ, why, join our email list. Click subscribe when you visit basicgospel.net. A reminder, too, that all the resources that we talk about on Basic Gospel are available through our website at store.basicgospel.net. That's store.basicgospel.net. And if you like what you hear each day on this broadcast, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the Basic Gospel team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.